discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
You may recognize her as the star of the most viewed Facebook Live video in history, with 170 million views and counting, who captured hearts around the world with her joy, laughter, and Chewbacca mask. In her new book, Laugh It Up, Embrace Freedom and Experience Defiant Joy, Candace Payne reveals never-before-told stories from her life, including battles with homelessness, abuse, and depression. But she shares a path to maintaining joy and freedom in the midst of life's challenges. And it's a strategy we'll unpack today as we welcome Candace on the road. A great day to you, Candace. What a treat to have you here.
Aw, thank you. I'm so excited. It's going to be fun.
Having observed your videos and having heard read your book, there's really no way that it couldn't be fun, I don't think.
Okay, good. Yeah. you're very giggly. You've got a good giggle. Like, it's putting a smile on my face while we're talking. You know, some people, when they giggle, you feel like they're kind of holding back. I don't feel like that with you. I feel like you're all in.
Well, coming from you, that actually is quite a compliment. So thank you very much for that.
Yes.
It means a lot to me. So 170 million. Is the number that really is just challenging to get over in your story. But before we even talk about the video itself, could you just start by introducing us to who you were and where you were at in life right before this Facebook Live endeavor takes place?
Wow. You know, I'm a stay-at-home mom, and that has not changed. It's just now that I'm a stay-at-home working mom that travels some and speaks and writes, but mostly I was, you know, doing what I do a lot still, making sure people got clean underwear and clean dishes and clean places to go. I mean, really, is it not just about being clean every now and then? Like, that job is making sure germs are gone, clean is there. And so, that you keep people healthy that way. So, yeah, that's what I was doing, being a stay-at-home mama. My kids were both in elementary school during the daytime. I was living that life, but now that time that they're at school, I've been writing and speaking about 90% of this year. So Wow. It's been quite a change. It's kind of been seamless as well. So it's been good.
Man, well, the very best kind of change, seamless change. Let's talk about it. How does this video unfold then? Where do you get the idea to do this video, and how did you decide to go about it?
Just being myself. There was no idea for making a video. It was, I bet you I have a few mom friends that are sitting in a carpool lane right now that would appreciate this toy mask. And so I got online and I thought Facebook came out with this new thing called Facebook Live, and I'm going to try seeing if some of my mama friends are on and will watch me play with this toy and let them know, hey, no matter the Instagram photos, you're going to see if my kid's wearing this mask. It was originally bought for myself. You know, I mean, like, I wanted that 30 minutes of, you know, just greatness. And so that's what ended up happening, is I was just doing something for my friends. And now I have learned some privacy settings on Facebook.
Oh, that's funny. So you're saying if you had known about them before, the viral nature of the video may not have even taken place, huh?
Oh, I don't know if it would have. I did not realize the magnitude of what could happen from making a video public. I mean, when you think about it, before I went to bed the night that I posted the video, I had 1 million views. And I thought, what in the world? That is like 1 million views. There's got to be like a club for people in that, right? You know, who can say they've done that? And I made a joke on Instagram about it. And I was like, y'all, I think I'm going to go viral. And I just was joking. And then I wake up the next morning and I had 24 million views on that little video.
Wow.
And not only that, but I had 15 to 20 voicemails from the likes of CNN, BBC, NPR, Good Morning America, the Today Show. I mean, it was all of a sudden it went from, hey, I'm a stay-at-home mom that just posted a funny video to I felt like Jason Bourne. Like, I needed a briefcase with money in different denominations and currencies to be able to travel the world and hide. All of a sudden, I was like, they found me. I don't know how, but they found me. And so, it to say the least, it was literally catching the wind and riding that whirlwind this entire 18 months. Mm. Yeah.
Well, that is the joy-filled voice of Candace Payne, the author of Laugh It Up, Embrace Freedom, and Experience Defiant Joy. There are so many things that I want to ask you about this, but I think in terms of the video itself, why do you think that it connected with people to such an extent? I mean, the most viewed video in Facebook Live history, that's really something.
Well, it's in the Guinness Book of World Records. This past year, like, that's hysterical. I think it probably was shareable, just because think about this, it really started making some momentum on Friday morning, and it was one of those things that you could pass around at work, and it's 4 minutes, and hey, watch this lady laugh in her car. But if you want to go a little bit deeper and look backwards with hindsight being 2020, I think it's because we needed some levity in our culture. Our culture needed to know flat out everything's going to be okay. You know what I mean? We were experiencing the craziest election year we've ever experienced. I mean, I can't speak for all of history, but I think it might be up there. My top it as the craziest. And then on top of that, we have these racial tensions that are starting to resurface. And I can't even begin to tell you how bleak it felt. And then to see just this lady laughing and enjoying herself in a car, it brought much needed levity and a reminder to us all, it's not as bad as we think. And we can all take a break and a breather and laugh it up for just a little bit today.
I love that. And there is such a profound truth to that statement of everything is going to be okay. And I want to get more into the message that you share in this book in just a moment. But you're a person of great joy, obviously. You can hear that just in your voice and in your stories. But it may surprise people to discover in the book that you have dealt with really serious challenges in your life, too, including battles with depression, a suicide attempt, as well as struggling even with homelessness. So take us back a little bit and inside those journeys, if you could.
I always think it's funny when somebody says you struggle with homelessness. It really is not a struggle. Homelessness is won at that point. You know what I mean? you win. You win. I ain't got nowhere. I remember being 9 years old. And, you know, when I set out to write this book, it was not to try to make a quick buck or do something to keep me in a spotlight. It was because I'd had people messaging me over and over and over again saying, how do you remain so hopeful? How do you remain joyful and positive? And you seem to have this laugh that I've been missing. I forgot what it was like to laugh. And I wanted to really talk about the tools that I've learned through the life that I've lived. And when I really looked back on when was the first time I experienced joy, like at a gut level where I knew I shouldn't feel this, and it was when I was 9 years old and I was homeless. I mean, we were living in a van with four kids, a dog, and two parents, parking in an RV spot and taking coin showers. And I remember, even despite our circumstances, we were having the most incredible memories and adventures as a family. And I felt joy because of who I was with, not what was happening to me.
Wow.
And, you know, I really feel like there's a lot of tools that I've learned because I've seen joy as this thing that's been defying what life has thrown at me. And because I've caught on to that and I've accepted what it can offer, I felt like, man, people need to know how to do this, and they need to know it's possible to live a life beyond their circumstances.
It's such a great message and so timely, as you say. In terms of the source of the joy itself, were you a family of faith for a very long time, or where did faith enter into the journey for you?
I'm a church kid. You know what I mean? Like, I was there when the doors were open. It didn't matter where. I was there. They could be learning sign language and I'm sitting in the room trying to figure out what's going on for the Death Ministry, where they're going to be signing the songs on Sunday. Uh-huh. I mean, I was always there when the doors were open. But faith for me has been a struggle most of my life. You know, I've either been full in or I've been wanting to cut ties altogether. I'm just being honest. There have been crossroads I've been at that have been very major. And for me, I found myself about 5 or 6 years ago wanting to throw in the towel on everything. And I would say a lot of people would feel that way about not necessarily God, because he's good. But come on, I think we can all say we've been hurt by people that proclaim to love Jesus and that say, I've got an answer here. And yet they live like they're in darkness and full of lies and deception. And so for me, I was at that crossroads where I was like, if this is what it's going to look like, if this is how satisfying my faith life is going to be, I don't want it. And there was this profound moment where I felt like God just restored my passion for himself and for his word and for just being somebody that says exactly what I mean all the time and means what I say. And and that's been a game changer towards my faith. And in all honesty, this book is about joy, and everybody wants joy. But the thing is it's not the main thing. It really isn't. It's always going to be a byproduct of something else, greater working. It says in the scriptures, it is a fruit of the Spirit. So there's got to be Spirit stuff working in your life to work out what you really want. And for me, that's my faith is absolutely intrinsic with the way that I approach having a life full of joy. Now, I didn't write the book for people that are only faith-based. I want somebody that's never even opened a Bible to grab this book and see that they are not stuck in the life that they're living. They're not stuck there, and that there is more.
Well, just amazing and hope-filled words from Candace Payne, the author of Laugh It Up, Embrace Freedom, and Experience Defiant Joy. Want to mention as well, we have two copies of the book to give away. And if you're listening and you are just, if you are catching the joy, it is contagious. You can head to myfaithradio.com and then just look for On the Road. You can send us a note right there from our show page at myfaithradio.com and just say, hey, I would love a copy of this book. Laugh It Up, Embrace Freedom, and Experience Defiant Joy. I don't mean to go down a rabbit trail here, but you have got me thinking with your comments about joy and the fact that even in itself, it's not the goal. So many people and so many books are so fascinated by the concept of happiness, but this is not what you're talking about, right? You're not talking about a feeling that comes and goes. This is something which stays in place even when the circumstances are great, but even when they're not so much.
I love when this comes up, because as people in a faith culture, we've kind of made happiness a bad guy. You know what I mean? you're not talking about happiness, are you? Because that's not it. And here's the reality is, you know, the whole Beatitudes, the root word for blessed is the person that is poor in spirit, or blessed is he who is this. That actual root means happy. So I don't think that you can fully separate happiness from joy, but I do see a big distinction between the two. And happiness I describe as something that happens to you causes happiness. You get a gift, you get a hug, you get the promotion, you get a clean bill of health, and you're like, yes, and you feel that rush of happiness. And it gratifies. It gratifies for this one tiny moment, and then it kind of dissipates. Joy is something that satisfies. Joy is the marathon runner. It's the one that stays the course. Even no matter what's going on outside externally, it doesn't shake. And it is longevity to joy. And so I think they go hand in hand. I think we want both of them. I think we want the oohs and the ahs and the goosebumps, and we want the long kisses that last, and we want the, you know, the embraces that give us the happiness. But deep down, we also want something to sustain us when we know that we shouldn't feel happy.
Wow.
You know? So
that's a great word.
I think they're great cousins. Yeah, I think we forget that they're cousins.
I love it. Thank you. You taught me something just there. I appreciate that. Thank you for that. You say in the book, this is interesting. You say that Joy has a frenemy. When we're talking about frenemies, what are we talking about?
Well, you know, when you meet somebody and you don't know if they're really got your best interest at heart, but you love them, you know what I mean? You're like, I like this person. I think about if you're going to personify Joy and personify comparison and say that they're buddies, comparison always starts out as this thing that looks really good and has your best at heart. Because it's just giving you where you need to gauge yourself on life. You know, how good you doing? How are you measuring up? Are you your best you? Could you do better? But then when you really dive deep into uncovering what comparison is, it is a thief to your joy. It tells you you will never be enough. You'll never surmount to anything. As a matter of fact, that enough is infinite. It doesn't end. You can try and try and try all you want, but there's always going to be somebody, something, and someone that's more advanced or has more or is more or more talented or, I mean, whatever it will be. And I'm telling you, living that life of chasing the enough will rob you of your joy quicker than anything else. It robbed me of my joy to a point where I found myself in college at a Christian university being honored and accoladed by my peers, and yet still wanting to take my life and actually attempting to. And so I know that comparison full well looks as something wonderful on the outside, but is a thief at the very core of who it is. And if you're ever going to experience a life filled with joy, you can't answer the phone call when it calls.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That is a great word. I love this discussion that you have in the book about life's simple joys. And I'm a very simple person, so this really spoke to me. I found it very meaningful. Why is this a key here, simple joys, and what are some of the things that give you that simple joy?
Wow. You know, I got to be honest with you. The original video that I posted that went viral, it was one of those kind of moments where I didn't know what I was saying, but then when you look back, you're like, oh, that was good. I usually just equate those to being like the Holy Spirit is smarter than me, so he says stuff through me, and then I go back and go, oh, that was good because it wasn't really me thinking through it.
Wow.
But at the end, I say it's about the simple joys. And what I really discovered this year is we have lost the art of cherishing somewhere in our society. We have lost the art of what it means to hold dear and treasure things that are the smallest things. You know, I am a firm believer that your simple joys could add up and become extravagant joys. They are so small in many respects, but the sum of them is great. And I feel the more that we learn the art of what it means to cherish those small things, they will add up to a moment that we desperately need when sorrow or struggle or health issues come against us and we feel as though we've lost all hope. They're the little things that, as a mom, I want to take a picture of everything with my kids, but yet some of my greatest memories I don't have a picture for. I just have an image in my mind, and I have a glance or a look that I remember. And those are the things that I feel like fill us up when we need it the most.
Wow. We have two copies of the book that has been written by Candace Payne, who joins us today on the road. It's called Laugh It Up, Embrace Freedom, and Experience Defiant Joy. And if you would love to be in a drawing for a copy of this book, you can just head to myfaithradio.com and then look for On the Road. And right there on the page, you'll find a contact form. Just send us a note and let us know, hey, I want a copy of Candace's book. One of the most powerful sort of visuals that you give in the book is describing the difference between how you felt before this incredible video goes viral and after. And there's a term you use. You say that you felt anonymous in some ways before this epic sort of saga. What's your message to somebody today who might describe how they feel in much the same way?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I think we don't understand how to have joy in the waiting. I think anonymous seasons are just that. I think they're just a season. And that's hard to say because, you know, everybody, their season could last a really long time, you know. They're probably on year 48 going, yeah, thanks for that. But I do know this. One of the things that was really trapping and stealing my joy from me was this idea that I had to be right with God all the time. Am I making him happy? Am I doing enough? Am I giving enough money where I need to give it? Am I serving enough food banks? Am I teaching my kids enough every morning? Am I praying enough? And really what I discovered in the waiting before that moment comes where you're given your destiny. I mean, like really these good works that you read about that God's prepared in advance for you, in the waiting stinks. And what I discovered is this. 1 Peter 5:6 tells us, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due season he will exalt you. And we have one job in the waiting, and it's to humble ourselves under his mighty hand. And it's not like a jerk face mighty hand where he's like punishing us. It's this mighty hand that protects us and guides us and provides for us. And there's security and safety under that hand. And when it's just the right time, he will exalt you. And here's what I've seen. Anything that you have to obtain through self-promotion, you also have to sustain through self-promotion. So when you're anonymous, those moments are cherished to me right now. Those memories of when I think that I can go to Target without anybody wanting a selfie while I'm in my pajamas. Those are glorious moments. And yet at the same time, the chapter that you're discussing from the book is called From Backstage to Center Stage or Whatevs. I mean, really, it doesn't matter if you're backstage right now in your season of life and one day you may be center stage. It's really about who you are in the waiting and how you position yourself under the hand of God, knowing that he's got it and that your faith can increase and grow and you can become a person that has hope and trust. You know, that's really those anonymous years, what they're meant for. It's developing a greater faith and a greater trust in the fact that God will keep his word.
I love that so much. It speaks to this truth, which seems to come back again and again, which is, it doesn't really seem like anything that God does is without purpose, right? Every single thing that happens to us, there's a purpose for it.
Yeah. You know, if this had happened to me 3 years earlier, we wouldn't be having this conversation. I would have been a train wreck. There'd be articles about me in TMZ, losing my mind, doing stupid stuff, probably shaving my head like Britney Spears. I am telling you, it is perfect timing when you wait upon him and he does what only he can do.
That is beautiful truth right there from Candace Payne. What a treat to have her on the road today. The book once again is called Laugh It Up, Embrace Freedom and Experience Defiant Joy. We do have two copies of the book to give away, and we'll have a drawing for you. If you head to myfaithradio.com, look for On the Road, you can send us a note right there from the page and say, hey, I would really love to be in this drawing. Candace, of course, we don't want to say farewell before we give you an opportunity to say, where is the best place to go, whether it's on the internet, in a brick and mortar location, to find a copy of this book and to learn more about you?
Well, you can really find everything that you need to know on my website. It's www.candacepayne.me, me. So it's candacepayne.me. And you can find the original Chewbacca Mom video if you have no clue who I am. And you're going to be so probably twisted because you're going to be like, wait a minute. She was serious on this show, but she's just a nut on the video. It's fine. It's fine. They're both me. And you can also find links to be able to buy my book or just go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you know, all the places. Anywhere that sells books, you can find it.
Well, it really has been an absolute treat to get to know you. You know, in these type of situations where you read a book and watch a video before you get the chance to meet somebody and talk to them, you sort of have an expectation of what it's going to be like. And I thought this was going to be a lot of fun. And sure enough, it was even more fun than I anticipated.
Yay!
Thank you so much for writing this, and thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Y'all have a good one.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.